We've been talking about radon gas off and on for years, and with good reason. It is an old concern, and it continues to show up in some of our homes, schools, and workplaces. Radon can hurt us, so knowing if it is around you is a good idea, as is working to block it from being around you. Let's catch up on the concerns and the remedies for radon. Two guests join us. From the Oregon Health Authority, we welcome Curtis Coode, who's a program manager in environmental public health. Curtis, welcome, and did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did. Thank you very much.
Sure. Will Graff is with us as well. He's with North Bank Home Inspection in Vancouver, Washington, and knows something about looking for radon in homes and blocking it out as well. Will, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Curtis, we've been talking about radon for years. How long has there been a program within the OHA for it?
Oh, that's a great question, Jeff. I don't know exactly how long this has been going on in the Oregon Health Authority, but suffice to say it's been at least for the last dozen or 15 years.
Now, what are the concerns about radon?
Well, as you mentioned at the top of the broadcast, Jeff, radon is a radioactive gas that's found in certain soils and rocks. You can't see, smell, or taste it. Radon can cause lung cancer and is thought to be responsible for over 13% of lung cancer deaths. Now, that's that makes radon the second leading cause of lung cancer behind, you guessed it, tobacco smoking. So, you know, the concern is that radon gas moves up through the soil and can be drawn into your home. And once inside, radon becomes trapped and can build up to unsafe levels. As you inhale radon gas, the small particles get trapped in your lungs and release tiny bursts of energy from the radiation. And these damage your lung tissue and can lead to lung cancer over time.
Wow, it sounds like you're getting, I don't know, something like a radiation exposure, basically, inside your lungs.
Exactly.
Wow, so are there certain kinds of soils that contain the elements that that produce radon?
Yes, especially soils that contain granite. And granite is known, granite is known to contain small trace amounts of uranium, or, you know, there can be other soils that have uranium ores as well. And uranium breaks down through the radioactive decay process over time, and most of that breakdown is a solid mineral, but once it gets to radon, it becomes a gas, and that gas is what's then liberated from the soil and can travel up into our homes and schools and businesses.
So when you say granite, does it matter if it's solid granite or decomposed granite?
No, it really doesn't matter. You know, it can be large boulders, or it can be granite that's worn down into, you know, very small particles.
Okay, I ask because we talked to you from Ashland, where there's a fairly high level of decomposed granite, so that would be potentially a concern.
Yes.
All right. Will Graff, let's bring you in here. It turns out there's a radon coalition in the Northwest, is that right?
Yeah, we have a group here. It's a community organization with people from the state. Departments like Curtis and Washington State counterparts too, and then professional mitigators, testing companies, and also some health professionals in there too.
And the whole goal is to make people aware of radon?
Yeah, we host annual forums on radon and do community outreach and work with states to hopefully push for some legislation to encourage radon testing in homes, in businesses and schools. So yeah, it's a pretty small group, but it's a really active group that does a lot of community awareness with radon.
Are there any particular requirements, Will, for radon testing?
No, at least in Oregon, there's no requirement for radon testing in homes. So it's all typically this happens during like a real estate transaction. People can test their homes obviously anytime they want, but that's a really great time to test. During that period. There's no requirement as of right now, but we are working on some legislation to require those in new construction.
Now, there are over-the-counter radon detectors, like smoke detectors, aren't there? The things you could just buy and hang in or just place in your house to alert you when radon levels get above a certain level?
Yeah, sort of. There's three different types of detection devices. So you have charcoal canisters, which are the kind of ones you see at hardware stores. There's also alpha detectors, which are long-term test kits. The charcoal canisters are just two-day tests or four-day tests. The alpha detectors are 90-day tests, which can give you a better seasonal average. And then there's the professional continuous radon monitors that professional testing companies use and mitigators use to test for radon. And those are typically short-term tests as well.
So from what you're saying, it sounds like there can be some fluctuation in the amount of radon that comes out of the ground?
Yeah, and it really it can depend on the season and the weather. So typically in the wintertime, this is why it's National Radon Action Month this month in January, because it's a great time to test your home for radon. In the winter, we usually keep the doors and windows shut. More often than in the summer, we have it open. It provides more ventilation. So in the winter, when your house is sealed up tight, radon has a harder time getting out of the house, and so typically the radon's higher. It can also be pushed in through weather and pressure systems into the house from the ground, too. So, yeah, there's fluctuation depending on the season, and then depending on how you use your home, too, it can change. That's why it's important to test when you move into a home. Even if it's low when someone else is living there, it might be high when you move in because you use the house differently.
We're talking about radon gas here on the Jefferson Exchange. And as you heard, this is National Radon Action Month. Curtis Kood is with the Oregon Health Authority. Will Graff is with North Bank Home Inspection and the Northwest Radon Coalition. Questions, comments from you are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you've had some experience in mitigation for radon in your home and want to share that story with us, or had a scare from a radon detector. Join us with your story at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Curtis, you mentioned something about radon being drawn into the home. What's the usual process there?
This is another thing you mentioned at the top of your broadcast, Jeff, was that we've been experiencing an awful lot of rain right now, and you might have some snow coming into the valley there over the weekend. And when our soils get really saturated with moisture, that provides sort of a cap on the soil. And the radon gas is in any vapors that are underneath your home are going to search for a low pressure area. And if we have any sorts of cracks in our foundation, we might have a crawl space, multiple penetrations through the foundation, anything like that will provide an opportunity for that radon gas to find its way into your home. Now, also, what's happening during the wintertime is we tend to run our heat quite a bit more, and that warm air and that higher pressure that's in the house, we force it out through the top of the house through our various vents in the house, and that's going to provide more of a low pressure in the bottom part of your house, draw the radon vapor up and in, and that will then build up within your home, and that's that's of concern and another reason why we want to test during the wintertime.
I'm looking at the federal EPA map of radon zones. How does Oregon compare perhaps with other states in the prevalence of radon?
Well, one thing I'd like to point out is those maps are from the early 1990s, and we know a lot more about radon than we did during that time. But it is definitely the case that the northeastern and upper Midwest parts of the United States have a heck of a lot more granite underneath than we do, so they tend to experience more prevalent and higher levels of radon than we tend to here in the Pacific Northwest. But we certainly do have, as you're mentioning, areas in the Southwest and Northeast that have native granite, if you will. We also, up in the Columbia Gorge and the Willamette Valley, have a history from the Missoula floods of 10,000 years ago and greater, where Great Lakes were formed, ice dams burst, carrying rafts of ice and lots of granite downstream and deposited down here. So we have that situation up in northwestern Oregon.
Well, you weren't kidding either. I just noticed that the legend on the map says the map of radon zones was developed in 1993, so no update since that time, it sounds like.
Not from the EPA. However, here at the Oregon Health Authority, over the last, maybe 8 or 10 years, we've worked together initially with Portland State University to develop our own map, and it's down to the zip code level. And that's something that you can find on our website to get an idea of the radon risk in different areas within Oregon.
Is there any agitation to require radon testing in Oregon? Because we heard from Will that there's no such requirement at this point.
That's right. There's no such requirement, although there are requirements for all schools to test for radon throughout the state, and that testing should be done by the end of this year. I have heard of discussions of requiring through real estate transactions, perhaps, or to require more likely to require testing after a radon-resistant new construction, which that's a requirement through certain counties within Oregon that as new houses are built, that radon resistance becomes built into those new buildings. And currently there's no performance testing that's required with that construction, but I've heard of legislation that would require that testing after the fact.
And thank you for mentioning the OHA map of radon risk in Oregon. I got that in front of me too, and it's a pretty good map. And you also see the zip code list there. You can basically enter your zip code and find out the risk near you.
That's true, and like I say, it gives you a sort of a rough idea of what the radon risk is around Oregon. You also notice there's a lot of areas where we have little data or no data at all. So there's two things I'd like to mention about that. One is, despite what the map says about radon risk at the zip code, radon can really vary from house to house, and you never know what you're dealing with in your house, your school, your business, unless you test. The other thing I'd like to mention is that we offer free radon test kits to residents in those zip codes where we have little data or no data. So we encourage people to, go ahead and test their homes and take that first step of reducing their risk.
Radon, again, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. That's Curtis Coode from the Oregon Health Authority. He's a program manager in environmental public health. Will Graff is also with us from North Bank Home Inspection in Vancouver, Washington. He's a member of the Northwest Radon Coalition. You can join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Will, say you get a positive on a radon test in your house, what is the point at which some sort of action would be a good idea?
Yeah, so with radon testing, the EPA sets the action level where you should fix the radon at 4 picocuries per liter. The World Health Organization sets it at 2.7 picocuries per liter.
So our standard is less stringent, you're saying?
It is less stringent, yeah. Obviously, no level of radiation is safe, so I think if you're in between that 2 and 4 range, it's especially if you did a short-term test, it's worth testing again in another season and kind of averaging those. You could also do the long-term testing to figure out what your kind of seasonal average is. That's a great way to kind of figure out your exposure. There's multiple ways to test, and that's really the key to it. So,
all right. So once you get a test, if in discussions with the inspection person, it's like, okay, you're over this level, you're over 4 picocuries. Even if you're over 2.7 on a regular basis, you probably want to take action, as you're pointing out. So then, what would the action be? What can you do to essentially put up a barrier between your home and radon?
Yeah, the systems they install are actually really easy. They're basically depressurization systems. And what they do is they'll, if you have like a slab or even a crawl space, they'll dig a hole that's about 4 inches deep and put a pipe inside of that, run that outside to a powered induction fan, and then run a pipe up through your roof, through your eave. And it basically pulls the air from beneath your house out the pipe and above your roof and discharges in the atmosphere. So it's a simple system that they work really well. They're relatively inexpensive for as far as environmental mitigation goes. They're about $1,500 to $2,500 depending on your house. And they can install them in a day. Really simple and really effective.
It sounds like an air sump pump.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. You're just looking to draw a place to where the radon will go and get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully radon mitigators will also take steps to kind of seal things up to make sure all the there's no leakage to areas where you don't want it. So you want all that air going to that depressurization system.
If you have a pretty good amount of concrete on the foundation of your house, either basement or slab, is it a pretty good, are you fairly well protected? Or is it the kind of thing where if you get some cracks or if the concrete doesn't have a lot of sealer on it, you might get some radon through it?
Yeah, on my the house I grew up in and my parents lived in had radon in the mid 20 picocurie range, about five times the EPA action level, and we had a system put in, and it dropped it consistently below 1 picocurie per liter. And it was a regular basement house, and we didn't really do a whole lot of air sealing or anything. So, like I said, they're really effective, inexpensive, and easy to install for professionals.
We had talked at the very beginning of this, Curtis Coot, about the fact that you can't smell, taste, see, otherwise detect with the human senses radon. Is there any indication if you've been exposed to radon? Any sort of points along the way before you get lung cancer or something that there's something going on?
You're asking if there's any way to test your body for that sort of exposure.
Right.
Right. At this time, the Oregon Health Authority is not aware of any standard medical screenings that determine lung damage related to radon exposure. And the best way to find out your risk of radon exposure is to test your home.
Now, Will Graff, is there anything being done in home construction now that differs from what might have been done in the past? Any more further requirements, I guess, is the question, in zones that might be prone to radon?
Yeah, so like Curtis mentioned, having houses sort of radon ready in new construction, that's been, at least in the Portland metro area, been instituted since the 2000s at some point. They will do some methods to prepare the house for radon, and one of the main components of that is a passive radon system. It's basically radon plumbing. So just like the system I described earlier with the active fan, it's like that, sort of missing the fan. So there should be a pipe that runs from your crawl space or your basement slab up through your house, through your roof, and it's a passive system. So those can work, but we don't know that they work unless we test for it, because it can radon can be higher or it might not be as effective as it should be. So it's still important to test even if you have a new construction home with a passive radon system installed.
Curtis, I'm looking at some of the communities nearby us. White City, for example, where a fair amount of people live, 97503. There's no data available from that zip code. Is that a place where you'd like to hear from people who get the test kits for free?
Yes, we certainly would. There are plenty of communities around southwestern Oregon where we have very little or no information at all. So we invite them to contact us for a free radon test kit.
All right. There's a wealth of information out there. You can go to Oregon Health Authority Radon, and you'll find some of the links we've been talking about here. We do link to the radon program directly from our website at jeffexchange.org. And just Google radon and mitigation, and you'll find a whole lot of stuff out there. This is National Radon Action Month, a good time to take care of the possibility of radon getting into your house and certainly getting into your lungs. As you heard, it's the second leading cause of death from lung cancer after smoking. I want to thank Curtis Coot from the Oregon Health Authority for joining us. Curtis, appreciate it.
Quite welcome. Thank you.
Will Graff has been with us as well from North Bank Home Inspection and the Northwest Radon Coalition. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Okay, thank you.